Exclusive: January 6th prisoners and families expose brutal truth about jail lockdown. It began without warning. A January 6th prisoner had emerged from his cell without a mask. When it was all over, the jail was in lockdown and several inmates had been pepper sprayed, handcuffed, and thrown into solitary confinement. Inmate tablets were quickly confiscated, but not before several prisoners had time to send text messages exposing the brutal truth of what happened. Many of those messages were obtained by the Epoch Times. In exclusive interviews with the Epoch Times, the family members of several January 6th prisoners share their stories. The identities of those in the inmate text exchanges obtained by the Epoch Times have been redacted for fear they will suffer further retaliation. Just went down. According to the text message sent by one January 6th prisoner to a family member, just went down at the correctional treatment facility in Washington, D.C., around 9:46 a.m. on September 5th. One of the guards had just assaulted Maccabee because he wasn't wearing a mask. The prisoner's name is Ronald Colton Maccabee. His wife, Sarah, described to the Epoch Times what happened. Maccabee had just been let out of his cell by a POD officer in order to receive his medications. Inmates, Sarah explained, have to take their meds in front of the nurse to prove they swallowed the pills. The med cart was about 25 feet from the door of Maccabee's cell. When he walked out of the cell to go get his meds, he was not wearing his mask. Lieutenant Crystal Lancaster began yelling at him and ordering him to put his mask on. He said he was going to get his medication and didn't need his mask. It was after Maccabee had taken his medication, it is alleged that Lancaster doused his face with OC spray. While pepper spray and OC spray are essentially comprised of the same ingredients, the higher concentration of oleoresin capsicum is what sets them far apart. A March 1994 report issued by the United States Department of Justice acknowledged the more potent and potentially lethal properties of OC spray when used outside of recommended guidelines or on someone with pre-existing respiratory conditions, such as asthma. With Maccabee on the ground in pain, Lancaster ordered the POD officer to handcuff him. As Maccabee was being handcuffed, Lancaster sprayed him again, point-blank, in the face. Sarah's account is validated by the texts sent by other January 6th prisoners to their family members. By now, Sarah said other January 6th prisoners had emerged from their cells. Three of them, Ron Sandlin, Bart Shively, and Ryan Nichols, began yelling at Lancaster, telling her to stop her assault on Maccabee. Sandlin was then handcuffed. He and Maccabee were taken away to solitary confinement. Shively and Nichols were also sprayed, cuffed, and placed in isolation pods. According to Sarah, there are no cameras in the isolation pod area. It's very concerning because the guards can come in and do whatever they like to these people with no accountability, she said. Messages sent by two more January 6th prisoner provides corroboration and more detail. A history of abuse and subhuman conditions. Sarah then recalled that the facility has a long history of subhuman conditions. She also noted that Lancaster, notorious among January 6th prisoners and their family members for being particularly vulgar and brutal, had been banned from the January 6th pod for verbal abuse and for stealing the inmates' mail. I don't know if that ban was lifted or why she was in that pod, she said. Her account was again validated independently by the messages from other January 6th prisoners. According to Nicole Reffitt, the targeted abuse of January 6th prisoners is nothing new at the D.C. Gulag. Her husband, Guy Reffitt, has suffered there for nearly 20 months. Guy, Nicole explained, was the first January 6th defendant to go to trial and the first one they tried to charge with the domestic terrorism enhancement. Luckily, the judge did not grant that, Nicole told the Epoch Times, adding that her husband never entered the Capitol building, touched anyone, or damaged anything. He was still sentenced to 7.5 years, she lamented. We're still trying to wrap our brains around that. I have been unable to talk to my husband, Nicole said further, adding that the tablets the prisoners used to communicate with their family members were suddenly confiscated. he has not been able to send me a message. The last message he sent me was that they were being assaulted and officers had taken off their body cams. A text message from a prisoner's family member confirmed that the inmates' tablets had been confiscated. She also revealed that the prisoner's electronic grievance system has been turned off, and they have not been able to file grievances with the jail for over a month. This means none of the incidents of abuse are being documented, and no one is being held accountable. Even the paper grievances filed by prisoners are torn up in front of their faces. The history of abuse was validated by the message of another January 6th prisoner. In the meantime, Sarah said her husband was in his cell drenched in OC spray for over 12 hours before he was taken to medical and thrown into a hot shower. Afterward, guards made him put the same OC spray-soaked clothing back on before putting him back in his cell. For hours later, it began to reactivate on his skin and in his eyes. He begged to be allowed to shower with soap and water. He was told to suck it up. It wasn't until around midnight that he was allowed to shower with soap and water and put on clean clothes. Mistaken identity or intentional retaliation? Despite repeated pleas to U.S. senators, representatives, the Bureau of Prisoners, and U.S. Marshals, Bonnie Nichols says nothing has changed. As reported by the Epoch Times in July, her husband Ryan faces 11 charges, including multiple infractions with the words deadly or dangerous weapon attached. The deadly or dangerous weapon was pepper spray. In the early morning hours of September 7th, Bonnie received heartbreaking series of text messages from Ryan describing both his physical and mental state after he was assaulted by Lancaster and thrown into solitary confinement. He believes he was attacked by Lancaster in a case of mistaken identity. However, Bonnie is convinced the assault on her husband was a matter of intentional retaliation for the lawsuit that was filed August 10th that named her specifically. According to the petition for writ of habeas corpus under 28 U.S.C. 2241 and complaint for declaratory and injunctive relief, Lancaster, the guard in charge of the solitary confinement area known as the Hole, verbally and mentally abuses inmates. She also oversees officers and guards who do the same, and is suspected of bringing drugs into the prison, the complaint states further. The presence of drugs in the prison was confirmed by both the U.S. Marshal's report and the testimony of the D.C. City Council Chair on the Judiciary and Public Safety. According to reports, one correctional officer was already arrested at the D.C. facility in February for allegedly accepting bribes to bring drugs, knives, and cell phones to inmates. There have also been multiple drug overdoses and two drug-related deaths that further corroborate the presence of drugs in the D.C. jail. Bonnie also noted that Lancaster had been banned from the January 6th pod 4 weeks. She would taunt the inmates, calling them names like White Cracker and telling them she's going to your daddy and give you a little sister. The last time Ryan was thrown in solitary was apparently in retaliation for a grievance he had filed. Because he suffers from PTSD, due to the traumas suffered during his military service, Ryan was placed on suicide watch. However, he was not allowed to see a nurse or to receive mental health counseling. They simply put him in a straitjacket and strapped him to a bench. Now Ryan is again in solitary. The pod is still on lockdown. Because he was not allowed to shower for 48 hours after the assault, he has chemical burns all over his body from the OC spray. The emergency response team told him to stop being a. I'm angry at this point, over what's continuing to happen, Bonnie told the Epoch Times. It's like this jail is untouchable. It's aggravating that these men are still in the same situation after 2 years. Aside from the abuse and abhorrent conditions, Bonnie said her husband's discovery was taken from him. All of the work he's been doing on his case, all of the motions, everything he has been working on for his case for the past 19 months was on a thumb drive that has now gone missing from his cell for the second time. The guards claim to know nothing again. There will be hell to pay. Don Nichols, Ryan's father, was with Bonnie when she spoke with the Epoch Times. Don had been on the phone all morning. he contacted the director of the Federal Bureau of Prisons, the United States Marshals Service. He has been advised that the best bet is to get a hold of your senators and congressmen. Louis Gohmert has already done everything he can do, Don told the Epoch Times, praising the Texas Republican congressman for his dedication to the plight of January 6 prisoners. Bonnie said Gohmert has been doing more than anyone else has. Don wants to know why so many January 6 prisoners have been charged with using a dangerous or deadly weapon called pepper spray, but guards can douse pretrial detainees who have not been convicted of any crime multiple times, before they're shackled and after they're shackled and suffer no consequences. I ask one simple question, Don charged angrily. Can I file criminal charges against Lieutenant Lancaster on behalf of my son? That's the question I want someone who's in charge of this system to answer. Because I'm willing to fly to Washington, D.C. on whatever day saying I am ready to file charges against each and every person who perpetrated this crime against these men. For Bonnie, her concern is, how much can a human being take until it's too much? She recalled how several January 6 defendants who weren't even incarcerated had already committed suicide. Christopher Stanton, Georgia, 53, of Fulton County, Georgia, died from a self-inflicted gunshot wound just days after the Capitol breach. At 5:30 in the evening on Friday, February 25, just weeks before his sentencing, 37-year-old Matthew Perna went into his garage and hung himself. On July 20, 47-year-old Mark Roderick Olmst of South Williamsport, Pennsylvania, became the third January 6 defendant to kill himself. I am telling you, Bonnie vowed, her voice breaking. If my husband takes his life over this, there will be hell to pay. The president made hate a patriotic duty. According to Joseph McBride, the attorney representing Nichols and several other January 6 prisoners and defendants, the prison guards are retaliating against Nichols because of the habeas petition filed against Lancaster. There is no other explanation, McBride told the Epoch Times. Our plan is to argue for his release today. According to a motion filed on the morning of August 8 in the United States District Court for the District of Columbia, McBride petitioned the court to dismiss all charges against Ryan Nichols for the reason that the government, in the person of the president, has intentionally and irreparably poisoned the jury pool. Citing 31 separate statements Biden made against MAGA Republicans during his 24-minute speech on September 1, McBride charges that the president has incited the entire nation to hate the January 6 defendants as a patriotic duty. According to the defendant's emergency motion for immediate pretrial release and request for an emergency hearing, McBride also moves the court to order the immediate temporary release of Ryan Nichols from pretrial confinement because the D.C. jail is presently retaliating against defendant for filing a civil case against the jail. The length of defendant's pretrial confinement is a violation of his due process rights. The defendant is being held in conditions of confinement that violate his civil and human rights. McBride has also petitioned the court for a change of venue. Nowhere else to go. In the aftermath of the assault against their loved ones, each January 6 family member is dealing with the situation in their own ways. Sarah has requested the CCTV video footage so she can see for herself what happened. Bonnie and Don want answers. Nicole Reffitt is heading to D.C. to stand in vigil with some other 1-6ERS outside the jail to sing with the prisoners. Nightly, they sing the national anthem, without fail, Nicole said. It can be intimidating and very scary, she said, feeling somewhat like David as he stood before Goliath. We're fighting the sheer force of the U.S. government and we're just regular people. It's overwhelming to think of the fight we have ahead of us and have been fighting for going on 20 months. It's scary, but it's important. I am going to take a leap of faith and go to D.C., because I don't know where else to go. The Epoch Times reached out to Eric Glover, General Counsel for the District of Columbia Department of Corrections and Director of the Department of Corrections Thomas Faust. Fred Lucas contributed to this report.